Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Welcome to Handy Link, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. The first segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Kyle Vos from the ODSP Action Coalitions. So tell me a little bit about the coalitions.
The coalition? So the coalition got started basically in 2002, and it was a legal group that was meeting because of the new ODSP program. And there was such enthusiasm from the group, and they decided to do a couple more. And they did one in Toronto, and I can't remember the other one. I wasn't part of the coalition at the time. And they realized that there was something to what they were doing. And basically from those meetings that they had in these different cities, they created the coalition, right? And in the beginning, the coalition was a lot more agency members, and they had some recipient family members that were on ODSP that were like trying to support their family and stuff like that. And then as the years went on, it became more 50% recipients and 50% agency staff. And we tried to create a co-chair position so that we had representations from both sides. So it just wasn't people that were working for people on ODSP, but it was also people living on ODSP with disabilities.
So can you tell me a little bit about the work of the coalition and how it's progressed?
Sure. So in the beginning, the work was to sit down and kind of figure out what was going on with the program and how to go to the government. And basically, we kind of kept on with that. So basically, the coalition is broken down to committees. So right now, we have three active committees. We have the Access Committee, we have the Public Awareness and Advocacy Committee, and we have the Policy Committee. We also have, however, it's not been up and running, the Earnings and Employment. So basically, the policy talks about programs or if the government's planning on making a change to a benefit, what it would look like, and what it could say, you know, and we kind of figure out where we stand on that. And then the public awareness and advocacy is where we go and go and do trainings outside in the communities. We provide, like right now, to the media and newspapers, and we try to get the message out there. And we also do activities where we have events and have people come in. And then we have the access, which is getting people onto ODSP, accessing information, accessing benefits. And so they kind of help us also out with the training. And so within all these the different committees, we work together as a team. And so then we go into the communities and we try to educate and we try to empower other people that are on ODSP. For example, one of our trainings is called Knowing Your Benefits. And so basically, we go through what is the typical benefits on ODSP and what they're entitled to and some of the tips on how to get it and things to avoid and complications and that kind of thing.
So
then on top of that, we also have meetings with the government. So we meet with the government on issues. So when they were talking about canceling special diet, when they're talking about canceling work-related benefit, all these different things, we kind of met together or policy team came up with a paper. We used it over at the public awareness and advocacy, and we went to the government meetings, and we advocated to the government and showed them why this was a wrong thing to do, and the government listened to us and changed their stance on cutting the work-related benefits.
So, do you work in partnership with any other organizations?
Yeah, there's quite a few other organizations, and we also have members that join other groups. So we have 25 and 5. We have put food in the budget. We are on other committees. For example, I'm on a peer navigator committee, which is in the Toronto, where they're trying to hire ODSD recipients to help new recipients navigate the system, so much like we're doing with our Knowing Your Benefits. We also work with we have CAMH, trying to think of all these groups, there's so many. Community Living, we have different groups like that work with us, and we work with them, so we support each other. There's many groups all across the province. The CNIB work with. I'm just, I can't, there's so many I just can't think of anymore right now. Sorry.
So, does the coalition face any challenges?
Yeah, we've been facing the challenge. We usually try to hold conferences, and we desperately need funding for these conferences. And typically, we would get them from different like law committees and stuff like that. We apply for different funds that are going around. But we unfortunately haven't, in the last couple of years, have not been able to get any funding. And the reason we keep getting told is that we do too much advocacy work. And so right now, and every time we do a conference, we bring in new members, right? Because a lot of our members, you can remember, are people that are on ODSP. So they're on ODSP for a reason. They have disabilities. And unfortunately, we lose some members because of their health and they pass, or, they other things come up and it's too much stress for them. We also lose agency members because they may move on to different jobs, and whoever takes over their new role doesn't necessarily feel that the coalition is a good fit for them. And so when we have a conference, we get a lot of new members in, and it helps us keep going for another couple of years. But without the conference, it's been hard to attract new members. So basically, we've had to do a lot of in-house trainings at different agencies, and we're going all over the city and trying to go over the province and trying to get new members one by one, but we're hoping to get some funding.
So, to look at the converse side of things, in your time with the coalition, what's been the greatest success that you've witnessed?
I would have to say this last year was really one of the best years. It's been a change in government. We have a new minister for community and social services. And for example, we had two victories last year with the government. We had the medical reviews and we had the work-related benefits. The medical reviews, we went into the government. There was Association for Doctors, there was legal clinics, there was representation. I represented the ODSP Action Coalition. We had law clinics. So we had all these different groups that were different, and we all met with the government and discussed with them about the medical reviews, and we showed them why it was flawed, how much it was costing them, and we went away and we went back, and basically they had listened to everything we had said and we're now working with them. And one of our members is sitting on the committee of to redo the medical review process. So that was one victory. Then we had the work-related benefit. The government was talking about canceling the work-related benefit, which is basically $100 for anybody that's on ODSP that works during that month. And it's to help with covering the cost of transportation and, other costs, because if you're going to work, you might need to do more laundry or, need to take the bus, the transportation or something. And that helps cover those costs. And they were talking about canceling that. We pretty much went in with mostly recipients. And right now the coalition is more recipients than it is agencies. And so when we went into the meetings, there was times when we went into government meetings and there was not one agency representation at the table. It was all recipients. And the government not only listened to us, but there was times when we had like a half hour meeting scheduled with them. And by the time we were going to our meeting and they realized that our half hour was done, they were like, keep going, keep telling me more. And that was kind of really unique to have that experience. And we got through to the government and they listened to us.
So, if you could send any one message about the need for the coalition, what would you say?
We need help. We need members. We need people that are on the ODSP that want to help with this work. We need agencies that are working with community that is ODSP and they're struggling and they can't figure out the system, or they need help trying to navigate it or trying to make it a better system, to join the coalition. And if we can somehow get some funding so we could hold conferences. right? And so that way we can get more people educated and help be able to help more people and help navigate the system and hopefully make it the whole system a better place for all of us.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this. If you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Sure.
Absolutely critical. That's all I can say. It's absolutely critical that a person with a disability knows how to navigate these programs. Fact is, it's fine and dandy for the government to say, we have this support system. We have something to offer the disability community. But the question is, who's bringing it to light? Who's making it understandable for those that can truly help? And the government did take entirely the right attitude when they continued to listen to the coalition, when they heard the voices of people with disabilities saying, we need this. We need it to live and to reach our best. And just because we're receiving some sort of assistance doesn't take away from our right to work, our potential to give to this community. Our contributing is a part of who we are and what we hope our lives to ultimately become. Taking away the funding, the work-related benefit, in my opinion, that would have been a serious issue. However, through the work of the Action Coalition, they were able to achieve not only politicians who listened, but a little more understanding, a little more enlightenment. They brought a very human face to the issues. They brought people who are actually benefiting by this to say, you've done a good thing by helping us. Don't stop now. And that speaks very well, not only to the work of the coalition, but those who have taken the time to broaden their own understanding. If you're someone with a story of disability life, write HandyLink 4, HandyLink, the numeral 4, gmail.com. Always love to hear from you folks at home. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
Getting together with friends and family is a great way to enjoy the summer season. But before you break open a cold one on the patio, make plans for a safe ride home. A designated driver, taxi, public transit, or just stay over. Thanks for always driving sober. A message from Arrive Alive, Drive Sober.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from Kyle Vose from the ODSP Action Coalition. In this segment of our show, we'll hear from Nicole Daniel, who has some rather exciting news about her yoga program for individuals with disabilities. So, recently you got some rather interesting news, some positive feedback about the yoga program. Can you tell me a little about that?
Sure, thank you. Well, first of all, I mean, I am so thankful to you for doing this media coverage all these years on it. And I was recently asked to do an interview for a podcast series called Run Your Life. And the gentleman who runs that that podcast program, his name is Andy Vasily. He and I covered a lot of territory, starting from my own personal journey getting into yoga, which, as you and I have spoken about, kind of stemmed from my own reaction to it with having scoliosis and just that immediate lack of pain that I felt upon my first physical yoga practice, and just how I knew kind of right away that I would do that every day because it just felt so good to be so pain-free after years of chronic pain due to the scoliosis. So he and I kind of started talking about that, and then we went on and on about a lot of different interesting topics, and I invite your listeners, if they would like to hear that podcast, I have a link to it on my website, www.cocoyoga.ca. So it's on there for them to listen to. It was interesting. We talked about the neuroscience of meditation and how yoga and meditation work to change our patterns, both mentally and physically. We talked about yoga and mindfulness starting to come more and more into the school system. We talked about all kinds of interesting things. So in general, it's a good conversation. But I got a immediate response from one of my students that I teach at Harmony in Action. Her name is Lisa, and I believe you and I and Lisa are going to have a follow-up discussion next week so your listeners can hear from her personally. She's going to speak. But she was inspired when she heard the podcast, not only because she also has scoliosis and she also experienced that same pain relief, which she's continued to experience over the 4 years that I've been teaching her at Harmony in Action. But she was definitely inspired to speak publicly. She thought it was a really amazing thing that I did the public broadcast, and she thought she would really like to try that. So she has asked if she can do a radio interview, and I thought, well, wouldn't Cam's show be a perfect opportunity for her to share on? So Lisa is a woman in her 20s. I believe she's 24. She has cerebral palsy and also quite a severe lordosis, which is a deep low back curve, and also a scoliosis. So this young woman definitely knows pain and discomfort and all the anxiety that comes with wondering when that pain and discomfort are going to pop up again. You know, they even on her good days, there's always that lingering in the back of her mind. Okay, I feel good today, but when and if is the pain going to come again? So, not only has the physical yoga helped her physical pain, but the more meditative and deep breathing aspect of yoga has helped her with that anxiety that comes with wondering when the pain is going to come back. So she's had tremendous benefit, both physically and, you know, emotionally and mentally, with the physical practice as well as the meditative and breathing aspect. So she's going to share that all with you next week, which is very cool.
So for you as a teacher, how do you feel about her desire to speak publicly? How do you think it'll benefit the yoga work and the awareness?
Well, in general, I think more and more people are now starting to learn about, you know, the adaptability of yoga, the modifications that can be made so that really, truly, it can be done by anybody. I think that there's always been a general, I don't want to say concern, but I guess like a consensus that, you know, yoga is only for the very fit, the very flexible. Even completely able-bodied people say to me often, oh, I can't do yoga, I'm not flexible. And my answer is always, well, you become flexible doing it. We not only become flexible, but we also become toned, of course, in areas where we might be too loose. But I think that, you know, people being brave enough to share their story and to speak publicly is a wonderful tool, a wonderful means to get the word out, and I'm really proud of her. She and I did do a joined presentation a couple of years ago at the university. Her and I came into the music therapy student's class, and we shared with the music therapists who often end up going into the field of working with people who have some special needs. And we did some demonstration, and we also spoke. So this young woman has been very brave, very outspoken. She's a clear and very interesting speaker. Your listeners will have a good time listening to her talk. She's very just on the ball, direct, very good speaker. She's a very interesting woman to listen to. And there's also just a really quick snippet of her on my website, too. It's just a minute-long thing where she's talking about the benefits of yoga. But she would really love for people to know just how much yoga and meditation have helped her with her scoliosis, with her pain, with her anxiety. And I'm just very pleased that it's going to help to maybe encourage more and more people to think, well, you know, I didn't think I could do yoga, but maybe I can. Maybe I can go in and use those modifications that Coco's talking about. Use the chair, use the wall, use the supportive pillows and bolsters and all kinds of things that I do for people who just maybe need a little bit of a different variation on poses that, you know, everybody can do, whether they're standing or seated. There's ways to engage those same muscles and get that going. So I really hope that helps people to understand that yoga is not only for people who are very fit and flexible. We become fit and flexible doing yoga.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Sure. Thank you, Cam.
My pleasure. Today's show struck me as the perfect balance in disability life. On the one hand, you have a group that's constantly pushing, working to change things for the better. That takes a lot of endurance, a lot of strength of character. On the other hand, you have yoga and pain relief, something a little more tranquil. Fact is, we as a society constantly tend to think of disability in black and white terms, really. We think of it as the need to keep pushing forward, the need for the next advancement, the constant endurance to get through the day. But it's not always that. For things like the yoga program, very tranquil, very relaxed, they offer just a calming influence. For a person with a disability, the largest part of any condition is simply what their mind tells them about it. If the mind says, it's impossible, it can't be done, then a person will accept that, because to them, that is their reality. Conversely, if a person with a disability says, there's hope, and I can find a way of relieving this pain, or pushing forward, making the next advancement, getting people to listen, because they need to hear that this cause is worth talking about. It's all about how the mind perceives it. And it's up to each of us to decide from what angle we're going to look at disability life. Are we going to see it as the constant struggle, the constant battle? Or are we going to see it more as something which does have supports available and does have hope? People who can guide us and teach us to control the more difficult aspects. The yoga doesn't just provide relief of pain. It provides relief for the mind. Stress, doubt, disbelief, they only make the situation worse. But I promise you, if you live in hope enough days, that hope will be justified. The Action Coalition really demonstrated that it is worth having hope, that you can reach those in power to say, people with disabilities are in fact a part of your community. They should not be excluded or made to feel like they're a cause. They should simply be a part of those things which we make our priorities. The truth of the matter is, yeah, in some ways, it is an ongoing struggle. The question is, how do we regard that struggle? As with anger and shame for those who don't come through in exactly the time or the way we want? Or do we see it as something that needs to be built upon? Something that day by day we can make a little more progress, a little more work can be done each day. It's all in how we view it. We all know that going into a situation in pain and angry, just ranting, will never accomplish anything. However, calm mind and a willingness to partner with others, to share facts and ideas, to learn from each other, and to grow in that direction can really make all the difference. And that is the amazing thing that both of today's speakers shared. A desire to get the word out that people with disabilities are, in fact, capable, strong people. For Nicole's student, can't imagine what it's like living with that level of pain, all those conditions together. Can't imagine how much endurance, how much strength must take. But, that's the thing, anyone will find that strength if given the right circumstances. If a person is faced with several conditions piled together, they have the choice of saying, I'm going to live with this, things as they are, without a lot of hope, without a lot of strength. Or they can say, I'll rise to the occasion. I will make this work. I will teach myself how to deal with the pain. I will teach others how to embrace the strength that I know I have. It's all about perceptions, folks. It is all about the way we choose to live. Whether it be the constant battle, or whether it be looking at it as a set of circumstances, something that we can build with, that we can learn from. But sharing it with others, that's the great joy in disability life. For Nicole's student, Lisa, could be the first time some of these people are hearing they can be pain-free, or they can find a better way of managing their condition. And for the Action Coalition, could be the first time that these government officials have actually come face-to-face with those that their programs are supposed to help. It shouldn't be a matter of simply writing a check and saying, how great am I? No. It should be a matter of getting to know the stories, getting to know that these are real people with day-to-day lives, families, jobs, hopes, dreams. And once you understand these are, in fact, people, these are, in fact, a large part of your population, you come to understand and to respect their rights within a community. That is the progress we all must continue to make. We must always live with the idea that things as they are today, even if they seem hopeless, are not the way things will always be. If we keep pushing forward with treatments and with our rights, that progress can be made. And someday, into our future, we can look and say, the world has built something wonderful based on the fact that I didn't give up today, based on the idea that I recognized that no matter what the disability, no matter what the circumstances may appear to be, there is always hope, there is always a reason to push forward, and there are people who will stand beside you, who will teach you to manage pain, or to know and to understand your own rights, how to navigate the system. Live for better days, my friends. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal, so get on out there and have yourselves a good one. You've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.